What's going on, guys? Roger here, as always, with my two beautiful co-hosts, Varghese Antony.
How's it going?
And Mr. Jonathan Lund.
Hello.
And we are the 91 Podcast, bringing you the highest rated automotive car content that you can listen to today. And in today's podcast, we have a really exciting topic for you. And this was Jonathan's brainchild, and it was fantasy swaps. Any car, any engine, didn't really have to be something that you could do, just whatever we thought was fun. As always, at the end of the podcast, we're going to pick whose pick we would pick, or if we would just stay with our own pick. Be sure to stay tuned next week, because we have something really fun. We are all in the U.S., and next week's topic is going to be what we call forbidden fruit. We're going to each be importing one car, a new car that is, into the U.S., just for fun to see what we would each pick. So with that being said, I want Jonathan to go ahead and kick off this week's topic of our fantasy swaps.
All right. So as you all know, engine swaps, they're always like one of the best things that you can think of. You know, any engines you can put into any car, most likely it's like, what, a front engine, rear-wheel drive car, right? Yes. I would always have this like plan to do like, oh, I want this car with this engine, and that's going to be amazing. But, you know, the logistics of it is harder than that. But this is something that I always thought of doing, and is taking one of these, a Mazda RX-7 FC. All right. I think that this car is superior to the FD. I know that's going to offend a lot of people, but I love the FC version better than the FD. And then sticking one of these in it. An RV26.
How did I see this coming?
Dude, you gotta admit, I'm gonna take the Dorito out of the FC. Alright? Controversial, yes. Alright? But we all know rotaries are unreliable. They require a lot of maintenance, right? But then we put one of these in here, an RV26. It's bulletproof. It's has a giant aftermarket. You know, you can do twin turbo, single turbo. You could do like imagination's up to the mind.
Shoot, the picture right there is a twin turbo.
Yep. So
beautiful.
Yeah, honestly, I'm thinking about doing this. I don't know if there's enough engine room, but you know, we'll figure that out later.
That's a problem for the mechanic, not you.
Yeah. As of all engine swaps.
You just cut some body away, it doesn't matter.
Hey man. It's a straight six. How what else do you want to need?
Jeez. So this is how we're kicking off the episode, huh?
Yeah.
First of all, you say something controversial. Like, we can't have the FC. It's got to, or the FD. We got to have the FC.
See, hell yeah.
What do you but, think, Marguise? What do you think?
You know, honestly, I think I'm going to harbor in more hate because because I'm not a fan of the rotary engine. I think it's great as a concept. It makes sense to me. I understand what it is. But when you put it into practice, I have not seen one that's reliable. They're fun. They sound nice. And they're really good at what they do. It's just not for me. I'm a sucker for straight six. I like straight six engines. Everything from the 2JZ to the Cummins. It's all the same. I like straight sixes. But the thing that gets to me is this is a really good engine. Like, this is one of the most iconic engines. You put up a top 10 list, this engine will be on it. You know? Rotaries are cool. I just don't know. As far as a fantasy swap, I would be pretty interested to see where this would go.
It's almost like you're taking a non-reliable cool looking car and you're making it really reliable with a proud motor.
Really?
I like it. It's a really nice concept, honestly. I think the FC looks really good too.
Yes.
I mean, it's just really iconic, you know.
It's a classic. It's an instant classic.
Definitely, definitely. Well, with that being said, Varghese, why don't you share your fantasy swap with us?
All right. This isn't going to be too much of a – well, I mean, you guys don't know, but once I show it, it's pretty much just going to be bread and butter stuff on my end.
Hey, man, I got two JDM classics. What more do you need?
Okay, well, So I've decided to go ahead and pick what I personally think is one of the most legendary engines in this modern era. The 426 Helephant crate kit engine from Mopar. Here's a picture of it. Baby. This is a fantastic engine, and I will explain what I'm going to be putting it into. No surprise, it's the 2023 TRD Pro, but I have really good reasons. First of all, you guys know, my family actually has one of these. It's not the TRD Pro, but it is a Sequoia. It's the 5.7. Here's the big issue I have with it. It's a great engine. 381 horse, 401 pound-feet of torque. It'll tow 7,000, carry 8 people, do everything. But the downfall is how it gets the power to the ground. It's a 6-speed auto, and it's really, really, really outdated, especially in today's times of 10-speed autos, 8-speed transmissions on trucks and all that. But take a look at what we're swapping out here. We take the 5.7-liter V8. We get rid of it. We put in a 7-liter supercharged 1,000 horsepower, 950 pound-feet monster. So not only will this scooch this SUV along, we're just going to throw it in there, right? And it's going to move. It's going to scooch this thing. So at 381 horsepower out of the factory, this SUV moves a lot quicker than it should. And it actually beats a lot of SUVs in its class, full size. But imagine what it can do with 1,000 horsepower. Imagine what it can tow with 950 pound feet. I just feel like it boosts all aspects of what this SUV is meant to do out of the gate. And, you know, when it comes to the price, it's $29,995. Not cheap, but certainly I think it's a bargain for what this engine is. And I'd swap it right in.
All right.
And I think the TRD Pro specifically, because it comes with all the off-road stuff. So,
what, are you trying to go Baja racing or something?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I could if I wanted, right?
Okay, I've never heard of the elephant motor, not going to lie. I thought you said synonymous. I thought it was going to be Hellcat. But I've never heard of the elephant.
It's pretty much the same family.
Dude, that would be a monster. I'm not going to lie. That would be amazing. I think you'd
drive the wheels off this thing. You say 1,000 horsepower in a V8 supercharged package, I'm in.
Jeez.
Incredible. I think it would just be such a beast at that point. You know, mm-hmm. it would come down to its application on the road. Literally kill anything. Mm-hmm. You can tow with it. You know, the only Achilles heel I would see to this is its off-road ability in terms of, you know, tight spaces and I guess you could say terrain where weight really matters. But other than that, you know, this thing is awesome. I think the Sequoia looks great. You can carry everybody in there. You'll be able to pull anything. And it's just a really good idea. I like it.
But that's a good point too, Raja, because that is the whole reason that this engine is called the Helephant. It is because it is absolutely enormous. So this is a great shell. You look at the 5.7 inside the hood, it doesn't take up much space. It can handle the weight, but you're right. That would be a big thing. But for me, when it comes to setting up a rig, I'm not going to just throw it in and then call it a day. But I think in my fantasy realm, you know, this thing's going to be tricked out with LEDs, you know, Baja style fog lamps, all that kind of stuff. So I think it has plenty of power to get the job done too. But hey, I mean, I'm surprised that you guys went with that.
I can only imagine when you're launching, it's like the back just squats down. It would
squat down pretty hard.
Yeah.
I approve.
All right.
My turn.
Last one. Let's see what Roger has up his sleeve. He's probably going to surprise us, all of us.
Always have something nice up my sleeve.
Yeah.
And I don't think today is an exception.
No.
Let's see. I don't know why this always does this to me. Here we go. I've got an air-cooled VW Beetle. Okay. Now, I want you guys to picture this Beetle, everybody that's listening. You know how this car looks. You know it has a reputation of being rather slow. But
the old buggy.
VW Beetle has this really unique quality about it, I guess you could say. And it's synonymous with the Porsche 911, correct? Mm-hmm. And just by happenstance, any air-cooled Porsche 911 motor until the year 1998 legitimately bolts right up to the tramming. So what you get essentially is a Porsche 911 powered VW Beetle, an air-cooled Porsche 911 flat six power plant in a VW Beetle. And I think, you know, relatively, you're going to go from maybe 40 horsepower, 50 horsepower from the flat four to maybe realistically 130, 100, somewhere within there. But it's kind of cool to say that I have this VW Beetle that nobody thinks is very quick. You know, you can take them off the line with the Porsche 911 motor. And Porsche 911 is just class. Porsche 911, excuse me, I'm saying it wrong. But it's just a nice thing, in my opinion, to say that I did this. I have this bug that's powered by a Porsche 911. And before you guys go ahead and make a comment about it, I just wanted to point out that you can also do this. It wouldn't bolt right up, obviously. But a lot of people do this with Subaru Boxer 4s, the naturally aspirated ones. Relatively inexpensive, and that'll give you about 150 horsepower. I think it's just pretty cool to have this very iconic car that's usually known for being really slow and pepping it up a little bit.
Okay, when I first saw this, I legitimately thought he was going to put a Subaru motor in it first, not a Porsche motor. But then at the end, he said Subaru motor. I was like, okay.
I was just surprised where it was going to go. But I will say this. I think my favorite part about the two options you gave is that neither one makes this car some like stupid fast, ridiculous, you know, machine that really isn't some like it's, you know, it's not unrecognizable. I think it's really tasteful. I think would be the word, tasteful, because you've taken a very old, a dying engine, and you've modernized it. 150, 138, that's going to do more than enough for a car this size. And I think it's really, I think it's well fitted, because you can, you know, people take this, they make art pieces out of it. It's not just like tuned, you know, they put like the little beach buggy style things, or they'll take out the rear hatch, or they put swap out the wheels. But it is iconic. It's one of the most sold vehicles of all time. Yes. I think what I like about it is that you can just bolt it up. It is, yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's cool to say like, hey, it's a Porsche powered Beetle, but I like that it keeps its integrity. Like, it's just a little bit faster, you know, it can hold a candle to modern cars commercially. I think that's my favorite part. It's not like overbearing.
Definitely.
This reminds me of the MCM engine swap they did for a Beetle. Roger, you've seen that one?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. It's just a nice car. And like Corey said, it's a really tasteful thing. It's very, you know, high class to say, oh, I have a VW Beetle powered by a 911 motor, even though, you know, it's not really fast. But I think it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Well, with that being said, Varghese, would you stay with your pick or would you pick something else?
You guys know how hard it is for me to leave my V8s and 1,000 horsepower. But I'm going to shock the world. I'm going to go with Raj's pick. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was well done and I thought it was well thought out. I really liked it. So I feel a little weird
rising
that. Yeah, I feel a little weird, but yeah, I'm gonna go with the air-cooled VW Beetle. I personally would put in the Porsche motor.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would go with. What about you, John? You sticking with yours?
Well,
or are you switching?
As much as I like the Beetle, I gotta stay with the my pick, dude. It's always been a dream of mine to
take
FC. take one of these FCs.
You would have the toy model.
Dude, FC is one of my most favorite body types there is. And
one of the hero cars.
Yep. It would be blasphemy if I don't pick mine.
Initial D hero car.
Yep.
What about you, Raja?
I think I would pick your pick, Varghese.
Oh, my God.
We got the switch.
And, it's just a dream of mine to own a American-powered vehicle at some point, a beast, a huge one.
I agree, yeah.
And just to sprinkle in, my Japanese car roots with a massive V8, I think that that's a very interesting thing. But before we end, because I know we're doing really well on time, was there any other swap that you guys came across that you might have thought of presenting to us?
Yes. Yeah. What about you, John? I know you got like a million in your head.
Dude, I do. It's hard to pick one, but you go ahead first.
For me, it was the Tacoma 4-cylinder. I wanted to take that out of the Tacoma and throw it into the Camry, the new TRD. Mainly because my reasoning was the Tacoma 4-cylinder, it's one of the biggest 4-cylinders you can buy on the market. And the 4-cylinders in the new Camry are fantastic for what they are. They're 4-cylinders, yes, it's inline 4, but it's 201 horsepower, and you hardly ever notice a lack of power. Correct. But I think having a big bore kind of sit in, but it's still a 4-cylinder package, not only do you stick with somewhat of a fuel efficiency, I think it keeps the, kind of like the VW swap, I think it keeps the integrity of the car. It's not like, oh, we're just going to throw an LS motor into it. It's still a 4-cylinder. I think it sticks to the Japanese end, the smaller displacement engines. Mm-hmm. But that was it, yeah.
I own that motor. I own that Tacoma, the TTR-FE, and it's really one of the most successful motors that you can buy today.
Attest to the fact that you, when you drive it, you never feel like it needs more power.
In the Tacoma, yes, but yeah,
in the Tacoma,
probably not.
Yeah, it's a different story.
Jonathan, what did you come across?
Dude, hear me out. So, V6 swaps in Toyota MR2s, the mid-engine?
Yes.
What did we year? Take 1991 to 1993?
Okay, yeah.
Imagine putting a Nissan GTR twin-turbo V6, the GTR one.
Crazy. Does that fit?
I don't know, dude. The V6, a regular V6, what was the engine code for it? It's the one they put in all Toyotas now. The 3GRFE, something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
The Toyota V6. That fits in the MR2, but
nice.
Imagine.
What about you, Raj? Any other ones?
I saw an F20C powered BMW E30, and I thought that was really good for drifting, just because you're in that high rev as you're drifting and you've got all that power there. I thought it was an interesting swap, but I didn't really want to bring it to you guys, but it's always nice to hear your guys' picks. Right.
Now that you mentioned that you've seen it, I've also seen some swaps too. You remember the Ferrari V8 86? The one by Ryan Turk?
Yes, I have seen that one.
He's also making another swap on a Supra? I believe he is.
Yeah, I haven't kept up with it.
He's putting in a racing engine V10 in it. Holy moly.
Well, with that being said, I think this is a topic we can definitely revisit. And Varghese, why don't you go ahead and take us out?
Well, you guys heard it here. Controversial FCs, FDs, engine swaps, air-cooled VW Beetles, tastefully done. Me leaving my V8 obsession for this little Beetle. But as always, we want to hear from you guys. What do you guys have in your garage maybe that you swapped out? Or what is your fantasy swap? We got pages on Instagram and Twitter. The handle is @91_podcast. And of course, if you just want to listen to the podcast, maybe you're busy swapping out an engine in your garage and you just want something on the radio, we're available on anchor.fm, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. So check us out there. What about you, John?
I don't know. It just tune in next time for our broadcast. What was the topic again? It was.
Yeah, that's important.
It was
forbidden next fruit.
Forbidden fruit.
So catch us on that one. And we'll see you at the pump. We'll see you at the pump next time.
All right, everybody.